Yeah. I said, you know he's closer to God than you are? She said, what do you mean? I said, he's doing exactly what God's telling him to do. He won't let him come to the Lord until you get your act right. Because you walk around with your Bible and you're using it like a hammer to try to control your husband. And you're supposed to serve your husband, not control your husband. And you go in there and tell him that he's going to hell and he's no good and he's this and he's that because he won't listen to you. And I said, lady, God's got him where he turns around and looks at you in your church and he says, that's a bunch of garbage. I'm not going to have anything to do with those hypocrites. And I said, it's your fault. I said, you had that back problem for 20 years or better. In fact, you were standing in your kitchen fixing your husband an apple pie about 20, 22 years ago, and you bent over to get the pie out of the refrigerator, out of the oven. He walks up behind you, scared you, you fell down on the floor, that's how you hurt your back. She said, yeah, how'd you know that? I said, God's a tattletale. I said, get on the knees and ask God to forgive you. You go home and you love that husband, and you serve that husband. And you let God be his God. And you stop being it. And see what happens. And she broke down and cried. And I cried. And I prayed for her to receive Jesus as she's supposed to. And repent. And she got up and started to walk away. No more shaky, by the way. She got up and started to walk away. I said, oh, by the way, sister, bend over and touch your toes. Your back is all right now. And she was healed. Now, what's wrong with truth? You know, sometimes God just isn't happy with people. You know, he doesn't like them. Doesn't mean he doesn't love them. I love my daughter, but there are times I'm not exactly thrilled with her. Huh? She's not thrilled with me sometimes, too. Now, I know that's hard to believe. Some woman come up to Ann the other night, like God bless her. She came up to you the other night, come here, Ann. Tell these people what she said. I thought this was cool. I'm never going to let you forget this.
I made a mistake, Lord. She came up and she went, oh, you are so blessed to be with that man. Tears streaming down her face. And she, I handled it right.
You did? You said, oh, I know. He's such a wonderful husband.
No, right? I didn't say that. I thanked her nicely.
But then
I made a mistake of telling all the guys. And you.
I can't wait till she comes here again. And tell her how right she is. The truth of the matter is, God blessed me with her because it was that story that God was giving me to share about what he had showed me with through our marriage and your daughters before we were married. I would have never learned that with you. I mean, without you. If you got to blame it on the false teeth, honey. I'd have never learned that without you. You see? So I was blessed to have you. Because God blesses us with each other. He blesses us with each other. And not just husbands and wives, church people. You know, you come here to the tent, you see me in my little 10-year-old suit. Actually, it's older than that now. Is it? 7 years old. Okay. 7-year-old suit. Got a new shirt, though. And you see me stand up here, and you hear me preach, and you say, gee, what a nice guy. Sometimes you say, what a jerk. But, you know, when you come out here and you see me in my shorts and T-shirt or my blue jeans, and I ain't got my teeth in, huh? And I'm dealing with some of these people that I got to deal with,
so-and-so told me I had to do such and such. I don't want to do it. Do I do it, he says.
Yeah. Children play nice. Huh? We're human. We're human. What was it, Paul, over the book of Acts? He was doing some healing and casting out devils, and all of a sudden this guy was a high priest of Zeus or something. He got a bunch of oxen and some garland, was getting all the people together to sacrifice these to Paul and his and Barnabas. And Paul comes running out there, he rips his clothes, and he says, "Men and brethren, don't do this thing." He said the most marvelous thing. He said, "For we are men of like passions, even as you." Now, he wasn't talking about fellow Christians. He was talking about idol worshipers, fornicators, idolaters, drunkards. He said, "We're men of like passions." First of all, we got to take the preachers off the pedestal. And we preachers got to get off the pedestals ourselves. We got to get off the pedestals. That's why I don't stand up there. Unless God sometimes tells me to, but most of the time I don't stand up there. Secondly, we've got to take the apostles off the pedestals. They are men just like every other man. They ain't wrapped too tight. They had their faults. They had their times of stupidity. They made their mistakes. They had their fears. They had their doubts. But God was with them anyway. Just like God is with me when I walk in this tent, He's with me when I walk out of this tent. Who was it? Somebody was telling me, somebody came in here the other day and says, "Did your preacher?" Oh, that was last night. Some guy, "Does your pastor pray before the service?" No, I don't pray before the service in here. He wants me to come in here. "Oh, Father, we come before Thee in humble obedience and ask You, oh, Father, to send Your Holy Spirit into God and direct us." That's not a prayer of faith. That's a prayer of unbelief. That's a prayer prayed by people who don't know God and don't know Jesus Christ and who don't believe the gospel. Because the gospel says that Jesus, in the form of the Holy Spirit, will come into me and come on me, and He will never leave me, He will never forsake me, and He will go wherever I go. And it also says He'll teach me all things. So why would I then turn around and insult God and insult the Holy Spirit and ask Him to do something He already told me He'd do? I don't understand this stuff. This is what keeps people over on the other side. This is what keeps them in the desert. Trying to please God with the flesh, trying to impress God with their flesh, trying to impress God with their righteousness, trying to impress God with their holiness. And it's not going to do the job. You want to impress God? Show Him Jesus. That will impress Him. When you sit down and you pray, how many people know that? Lord, the disciples' prayer. All right, how many people know the Lord's Prayer? All right, the Lord's Prayer is John 7, chapter 17. "And these words spake Jesus, and He lifted up His eyes unto heaven and said." That was His prayer. The disciples' prayer is when they came to Him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John's disciple taught them." And He said, "When you pray, don't pray as the hypocrites do. First of all, don't pray in public to impress people." So what do us preachers do? We get right up there in public and try to impress everybody with how fancy we can pray. And some of them even throw in a few Elizabethan words. I guess that makes you better. The second thing he said, don't pray in vain repetition. Vain means useless or pride. So what do? Churches all across America, Sunday morning. Bow our heads and pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's vain repetition. And they didn't get it no more than the Pharisees did back in his day. Jesus taught in parables, did he not? That prayer that he taught his disciples was a parable. It wasn't a formula. It was a parable. First of all, who is God? He's our Father. Where is He? In heaven. Get that relationship down. Get it through your head. He's your Father. And thank God He's not like my daddy was on this earth. That was my biggest drawback to getting to understanding God as a Father, because of my natural father, who I don't even want to tell you some of the things about him. And you know, that keeps a lot of people from getting close to God as their father, because their natural fathers didn't understand the role they play in the spirit of their children. But I finally learned that God is a loving God and He loves me, and He doesn't want anything for me that is not good. One of the things I learned to understand about my Father in heaven is that if I ask Him for a loaf of bread, then by God, I will get a loaf of bread and I'm not going to get a rock. If I ask Him for an egg, I will get an egg. And not a scorpion. If I ask Him for a fish, He will give me a fish and not a snake. And if I ask Him for an abundance of His Holy Spirit, I get the abundance of His Holy Spirit and not something else. Amen. So the first thing we have to do when I pray is understand the Father relationship to me. Hallowed be thy name. What's God? What's the Father's name? Jesus. And there is no greater name, no greater name than Jesus. When I get it into my head and into my heart, just how awesome, awesome, awesome the name of Jesus is. When I say the word Jesus, and I love to say the word Jesus, demons tremble. They tremble. The first time God showed me that, I was standing in front of a woman that was going berserk, and I was just a baby Christian. I was only a few days old. And this woman was going absolutely berserk, and I'm standing there, and I said, God, what's the problem? And all of a sudden, it was like she froze, and this thing just stepped out of her. Horrible, ugly, grotesque. And fear hit me. I learned a lot through this, see? Fear hit me. And when the fear hit me, it began to grow. And as the fear increased, it grew more. Until it filled the room. And I could barely speak, and I could barely talk. And this thing was not imaginary. I mean, this thing, you could smell it. You could smell this thing. And I finally forced myself to say, Jesus. And when I did, it got startled and froze. And all of a sudden, my fear left. Fear just, it was gone. And I got happy. And so I said it again. If it hurt it one time, it'll hurt it twice. I said, Jesus. And that thing just went, pop. I learned a lesson. And the scripture came to my mind, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Got to have that sound mind. Because when this thing is trying to tell you run, the sound mind will say, stand in Jesus. When this thing will tell you you blew it, the sound mind will say, Jesus is big enough.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying here? The name of Jesus is the strongest, most powerful, most awesome name there is. Then we pray, Thy kingdom come. What does it mean, Thy kingdom come? Does it mean bring New Jerusalem? No. It means, Lord, I want what you told Nicodemus about. I not only want to understand the kingdom of God, I want to walk in it. I want to stand in it 24 hours a day. I want death to run from me. I want sickness to run from me. Huh? I want to walk in your kingdom now. Do you realize, folks, that Adam could see in the spirit as well as in the natural? Adam had 5 natural senses. Amen? But he also had 5 spiritual senses. Have you ever wondered what the spirit was for? What is your spirit? What is it? What does it do? What is your soul? What does your soul do? What is your body? What does your body do?
Well, I know what the body does. It falls down and gets hurt.
The body is what you live in this natural 3-dimensional world. Huh? But your soul is who you are. That's your mind, your intellect, your will. That's your soul. Your spirit is the body's counterpart in the heavenlies. It's in God's kingdom. When Adam ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, what does Paul say in Ephesians? The word of God is more sharper than any two-edged sword, even a dividing asunder what? The soul from the spirit. The moment Adam ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, God's word performed. And his spirit was separated from his soul. When a child, watch this. Do you ever wonder about this part about, for this cause shall a man leave his mother, his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? Have you ever wondered about that, how that works? There's my wife sitting right there. Here I am right here. It's obvious she's there. I'm here. Huh? How can we be one flesh? We're not one flesh. In the sense of her body there, my body here. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. Amen. But see, what God was showing us in that is this. When I take my seed and join it with her seed, her half and my half form one flesh. See? God provides the soul and the spirit. And when God provides that soul and spirit in that little tiny, teeny, weeny, teeny, itsy, bitsy thing, it's fully grown and mature. It's full grown. It knows God. It can see in the Spirit. It can hear in the Spirit. It can smell and taste and feel. It knows the Spirit. It knows God. The soul can see these things through the Spirit. And as the body begins to evolve and begins to grow, connections through the brain are made to the soul. And at birth, the sword falls. the spirit is divided from the soul, and the baby cries. You always thought it cried because the doctor spanked it. Do you know babies will cry at birth whether the doctor spanked them or not? Sometimes they need help. But it's that loss, that instant loss. And as the child gets older and the soul is tuned into the physical, it loses contact with that spirit and is constantly trying to rejoin it. Constantly trying to rejoin it. It's like a man that loses a leg. For 20 years, he can still feel his toes. Still feel it. So they try to find ways to express it, and some call it the sixth sense. It's not the sixth sense, it's the sense you lost because of the fall. But that gospel is such that Jesus comes and Jesus takes your spirit and your soul and joins the two together. So that through Jesus, now your soul can see in the spirit, can hear. How do you think Philip or Stephen, how do you think Stephen could look up and see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God? You think he did that with his natural eyes? No. He did it with his spiritual eyes. Huh? How do you think the disciples could hear the voice of God speaking when others couldn't? How do you think Paul could hear Jesus and see Jesus when all the others could just hear rumblings? Because Jesus Christ is the mediator. And he brings the spirit and the soul together in the most perfect way. And anybody who tries to do it any other way but that way right there is a thief. And the key to having that flow is obedience. It's like the valve. When you obey the gospel, the valve opens up and God just floods you. When you don't obey the gospel, the valve shuts down. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's because he wants you to obey him. And then what happens? That happens when you're born again with the blood. Jesus forms that up. You're baptized in water. Your body, your by faith, your soul and spirit is held in Jesus until the new body comes. And then you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's that baptism of the Holy Spirit that finalizes and seals. I mean, spirit is spirit. You understand what I'm saying, Scott? If I took two glasses of water here, and I took one glass from Northfield Falls, Vermont, and the other glass from Cornish Flat, New Hampshire, and I poured one into the other and said, okay, separate them. You couldn't do it, could you? Now do you understand when Jesus said that they may be one in me as I am in you and that I in them as you and we all in one? It's through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit. So when God looks through the Spirit at Gail, he sees Jesus. When he looks through the Spirit at you, he sees Jesus. Because it's through the Spirit that you walk in the kingdom of God. Not in the flesh, by the Spirit. That's why Paul says, what? Now there is no condemnation to them who, what? Walk, not after the flesh, but
after the Spirit.
After the Spirit of God. See? Which goes back to Hebrews. When you mix the Word, the Gospel, with faith, all of a sudden you stop trying to perfect yourself in the law. All of a sudden you stop taking yourself seriously and you start taking God seriously and you begin to allow Him to work in you And you don't worry about it. Because your confidence is in Him and not in you. And then what happens next? You labor. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any of you should fall after the same example of unbelief. It's not God you're laboring with. It's not holiness you're laboring with. It's not the Word you're laboring with. It's unbelief you're laboring with. You labor against doubt. And doubt comes from the devil. He's the father of it. It's those weeds that preachers plant around you.
Oh, you're not worthy to do this.
Well, hallelujah! I know I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to stand in this tent. But Jesus says, amen. So by faith, I ain't worried about what this thing looks like. By faith, I'm in Jesus Christ. And He's worthy. By faith, because I'm here and He's here in me and I'm in Him, I can speak for Him. And if I speak the truth, then He honors me. And if I don't, He doesn't honor me. And that's how I learned. Huh? I go out and play baseball. I don't hit the ball every time. And I don't mean I quit. I had to learn to hit that ball. I used to get in church and preach stuff, and I'd preach some stupid stuff. Stuff that I'd been taught to preach, and it was stupid. And God didn't honor it. He wouldn't back it up. But when I learned to preach what He told me to preach, then I could walk up to somebody and say, oh, be healed in Jesus' name. And they'd be healed. It's not me He's honoring. It's the Word. You see? And it says so right there in Mark 16. And He was resurrected, and they went out preaching the Word. God, what? Working with them, what? Good student. Confirming the Word preached with signs followed. That's part of the gospel. So that when you labor to enter into that rest, what is that rest? That is crossing over the River Jordan, where it's no longer you laboring to serve God. It's God in you serving God. Huh? It's no longer you performing. It's Him performing what He already ordained. I stop and think about it, Steve. When I met Ann in 1976 and she was a cripple, she laughed at me when I said, lady, before I leave here, you're going to walk. You laughed at me. You thought I was crazy. But it didn't bother me any. You know why? Because I knew that God healed her before He said, let there be light. It was in His plan. It was going to happen. And nothing she thought or did or said was going to change it. All I had to do is say, okay, get up and walk in Jesus' name. You're healed. And what did you think? Get this microphone. Tell them what you thought when I said that.
I thought, I thought you were crazy. And I just wanted to stand up and fall flat on my face and then you'd leave. I wasn't very smart, I guess you could say. But I got up and I walked, and I had no pain. For the first time in 3 weeks, I was walking, and I've been walking ever since.
See, that's God working. And that's God performing that which He said He would do. And He wants it for every single person. So when He says, thy kingdom come, well, that's what He's talking about. Lord, I want Your kingdom here. I want to walk in that kingdom. I want to know Your kingdom. And you see what's so neat is when He returns, you just step into that kingdom the rest of the way. Because you're already there. You just pick up your new body. Huh? All right. What's the next part? Thy will be done. Now, this is the part I like. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've heard so many preachers preach and pray, and Christians who love God. Who love God, and they just don't know any better.
Well, we have Sister Mary over here. She's in the hospital. We got to remember her in prayer. We got Brother Bob over here. He's dying of cancer. We got to keep him in prayer. So let's lift him up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in humble spirit and ask Thee, if it be Thy will, that Thou would touch them and lift them up. But nevertheless, not our will be done, but Thy will.
What kind of garbage praying is that? Is there going to be cancer in heaven?
No.
I can't hear you.
No.
Is there going to be demons in heaven?
No.
Is there going to be sickness in heaven?
No.
Then it's God's will for there be no sickness, no demonic possession, no cancer here on this earth. Let Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, most of us want our yearly bread. I want a whole year's worth in advance, Lord. Somebody told me one day, he said, it looked like you ate it all one day. I want to learn to be sufficient for my bread today. Not just my earthly bread, but my spiritual bread. Huh? I want my spiritual bread and my earthly bread every day. And trust God. Give us this day our daily bread and what? Forgive us our trespasses or our debts as, that is, in the same way we forgive others. These are the things that we walk down, we hit on, and as we pray. And where do we do this? In our closet. In secret. Not from the pulpit. Not in the... Let's all gather around and impress one another.
Well, Brother Usher, don't you believe in corporate prayer?
Yes, there are times when I believe in corporate prayer. Absolutely. But I think it's been used to the point of show and not tell. Huh? You want to pray? Get in your closet and pray. And when you come out, I want to see the result. Huh? And that's what I've got to do. That's what I've been able to tell people. I tell them, look, I'm not going to give an altar call. You go home. You get in your closet. And you get serious with God. Stop trying to con Him and stop trying to con yourself. You get home, get in that closet with Him, and you pray. Tell Him what you really want. Tell Him who you really are. Be honest with Him. And tell Him you're sick and tired of trying to live in the kingdom of self, and you're ready to live in His kingdom. Even if you're a Christian, you're ready to live in His kingdom. And watch what happens. Watch what happens. It'll work. It'll work. And I'm going to tell you another secret. We're going to learn more about it here. Because it's about time to shut this down tonight. What time is it? One of the things that you're going to learn about here is God's anointing and how it operates. Now, you hear a lot of talk about anointing. You hear people say, I've got an anointing. This one over here saying, I've got an anointing. You'd think there were more anointings than there are people. And the truth of the matter is, there's only seven anointings. There's only seven. And we're going to get into that one night this week. And you're going to understand how these seven anointings work. Anybody operating under an anointing operates under one of these seven. And anybody who comes into this tent and receives the word that I speak receives one of those seven. And it will work for them, and it will guide them, and it will direct them wherever they go. It'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
Play me some traveling music, son. And by the way, I got a little request. Whoever borrowed my little Bible, I'd like it back.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You know, one thing I want you to remember when we sing that song tomorrow night? When we say Jesus, you know, those devils just start going backwards. They start going backwards. And, you know, every single night of this revival, what we've been seeing is we've been driving those forces backwards. Driving those forces backwards, just driving them right out of Claremont. Right out of Claremont.
Amen.
That the people of Claremont may be set free.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
All right, now, real quick before we go, we don't take up an offering. However, we do have baskets up here. And the only guy looking is not the guy with the funny looking glasses, but the guy behind him, named Jesus. Okay, he looks. But I mean, look, the thing is that this isn't about money. This is about our Lord. He takes care of his people, period. But one of the things is that he wants to bless people as well. He wants to bless people outside of Claremont. You know, this tent's going south because I know Richard doesn't like the cold weather. And the Lord's a practical joker, but I don't know if he's that much of a practical joker. But so this tent's going to continue going southward. And as it does, there are places that God wants this tent to go. And so we need folks to help with that. So we have brochures over here, which tell you a little bit about what we're doing. Has a website, you can learn about what we're doing and everything. And you have the opportunity to join with us in this endeavor that the Lord's doing. The other thing is we've done two revivals, one in Cornish Flat, one in Berlin, Vermont, and we got all the tapes of those. And I know it's a real blessing to myself and I know to others to be able to listen to these tapes again. It's helpful. You hear different things every time, just like the Word. And so the thing is for the folks who come here, we sell them individually at $5 a piece. When you buy the whole set, it's $72 for the ones, that's $18 up in Vermont, and it's $40 for the ones over in Cornish Flat. And if you'd like to buy them, we got a bunch of different sets. We also got this guy's music. That's the guy before the name of Jesus right over there. The one with the funny glasses. He's got some music he's done because he sings a lot better than the rest of us. And the Lord's given it to him that way. And praise God for that. And it's been a blessing to all of us because I can turn it up loud and hopefully the people in the car next to me hear him and not me. But the thing is, in the end, what happens is that it helps me to get through whatever it is that I'm having to get through right then because sometimes I just don't feel it. You know what I mean? And sometimes I just need a little help. So I call for a little help from my friends. We got a little music. And he's got a CD which is called Common Faith, which is all original music. All scriptures. I mean, all of it. All it is basically scriptural songs and songs about testimonies of people in this ministry, frankly. And that's $12. We also have all the worship songs we sing, all these ones you guys sing with us and that are in the book and everything. There's like 72 of them. Okay, almost. We don't have Our God is an Awesome God. You got to get that one from Rich Mullins or whatever, but that's an awesome song. But we got all of those there. That's three other CDs. You buy all four, it's $40. And the other three have to be made up special. We haven't gotten them made up by some big producer and everything. But the other ones we actually sent out, and people duplicated a lot of them. So we got a bunch of them around. But every night, 7 o'clock here for the next 2 weeks till Sunday, what day is that, the 20th? Sunday the 20th, I believe it is, of August. And all are welcome. Bring friends. People need to hear God's word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for coming.